Y'all, I haven't seen most of y'all since last year. So, welcome to 2019, amen? Super excited about 2019. And so is the rest of the world. But all on social media, I've been seeing people like make lists of things that they wish that they can leave in 2018. Like they wish they didn't bring that into 2019. Now, some of like what made top of most people's lists was like fidget spinners, like Fortnite. You know, people are nuts about Fortnite, and like flossing, like not actually flossing. Well, actually, you think that most people like left flossing like, you know, 1909 or whatever, but well, I'm talking about specifically like flossing, like the dance. But to me, like fidget spinners and flossing and Fortnite, like that really doesn't bother me that much, mainly because I'm pretty sure I'm in the middle of it participating in all of that stuff. But please believe me, men and women, there are, I have an extensive list of things that I've experienced in 2018 that I do not want to experience in 2019. And 90% of it, hear this, 90% of my long list includes things I wish I hadn't said, I shouldn't have said to my wife, like 90% of it. Like I've said some bonehead things in 2018 that I cannot bring into 2019 if I want to live, right? And not only, like I have a long list of things that I've said, but I got a long list of things that some of you have said to your wives. And I gleaned from you, I'm like, yeah, you're a dummy. I won't do that. Now, allow me to give you an example. True story. This only happened like less than a month ago. Now, oh, Heidi, man, I'm so sorry that you married me. So Heidi she took time, had her makeup on, had her hair on point. I'm like, golly, girl, you fine. So I'm looking at her, and then she put on this beautiful, beautiful red dress. I'm like, lady in red. I'm like, man, girl, you're looking good. And so she took all this time, and then she put on like some black boots. And they were good black boots, but she was trying to figure out her outfit that she was going to wear. And so she put on these black boots. And then, you know, kind of frustrated with trying on different shoes, she looks at me, she goes, Richard, what do you think about these? You know, and I could tell she was frustrated. And I'm like, I'm like, girl, you look like Mrs. Claus in that outfit. Kid, I'm sorry, dude. You know, exactly. Oh, where were you before I said that? This is true. Yeah, I definitely want to leave that in 2018, but this is true. One of my buddies was having an argument with his wife. Like they were going to skirmish back and forth, and his filter meter just completely was turned off. And he said this to his very own wife, who he's madly in love with, godly man. He said this: if I knew I was going to marry a hateful woman, I would have at least married a better looking one. I didn't do that, but I'm pretty sure that needs to stay in 2018. Like, no, we can't bring that into 2019 or anything. Believe it or not, he's still alive as well. Y'all, I came across of a video of a guy put together of things that he shouldn't have said to his wife that end up pretty much got him killed. But he didn't learn this lesson and kept going on. Y'all, let's check out this video.
You know, you're just like your...
Say it.
I will remember.
You're not mad at me.
No.
You're sure?
I'm fine.
Okay, come on, because I will remember. Top of the line, baby. You're going to love it.
A scale?
I will remember.
Wow, I lost 5 pounds.
Nice, 25 to go.
5 more to go.
I will remember.
Cut the grass. You never listen to anything
hey,
I say.
Relax.
I will remember.
These pants are really tight. Did you put them in the dryer?
No, but I can put you on a treadmill. Boom!
I will remember.
We're a team. We're a dynamic duo. She's my side chick. Side chick!
I will remember.
Happy Valentine's Day! Because you're hot and steamy.
I will remember.
Why can't you be more like Jimmy's wife?
What?
I said what?
I will remember.
Hi, I'd like to order flowers for my wife. I wanted to say, baby, I love you, and you're the only one for me.
You were right. I was wrong.
Oh, yes!
All right, pick a partner.
So, not even joking, me and Heidi watched this video. I thought it was hilarious. Heidi didn't necessarily think it was very funny because I am guilty by at least half of those things that's on there. Not even joking, right? Now, but check this out. Despite like my abundance of mistakes, despite the many times I was insensitive to my bride, despite the many times that I've hurt Heidi's feelings, like she still loves me and she gives me a fresh start every day. And that's what my wife does. Now, Lord knows I don't deserve it. Lord knows I need to feel the wrath of Heidi Marks. However, like today, like every morning, every second is like a brand new second with Heidi in our relationship, y'all. Now, why? The reason why Heidi does that, because she, for one, she's a child of God and she observes and she just studies the word of God and she also puts it into practice. And now we have a flagship verse here for our current sermon series, My New Beginning, and it's in Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23. And again, Heidi, like, she loves this verse, observes this verse, and she definitely practices this verse, and amen. So if you have your Bibles, if you can turn with me, y'all, Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 23. If you don't have your Bible, we got to put it on the screen. So here we go. Verse 22 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Now, Heidi understands God's mercies are new for her every day. So in return and as in response to that, Heidi's mercies for me are new every day. And since Heidi's mercies are new for me every day, hear this, she doesn't define me by my past mistakes. Now, if God's mercies are new every day, our mercies for one another should be new every day. And so that means that we can't hold people captive by their past mistakes, by their past failures. Heidi doesn't do that to me, all right? That's why I love you, girl. You off the chain. Now, in her mind, think and hear this. In Heidi's mind, I am more than my past failures. I am more. Now, in the word, it says that we have the mind of Christ. And so if we have the mind of Christ, and if Heidi's mind, I am more than my past failures, that means in the mind of Christ, God's own mind, then I am more, much more than my past failures. Like church, like everybody in here should rejoice because every single person in here has messed up at some point. Some of you, no, all of us has eventually like failed in a major way, failed so much that we deserve separation from God. But again, we're not defined by our past failures. Like, but even though, especially for you Christians, speaking specifically to you Christians right now, a lot of us, we know that. However, like, we don't rejoice in it, and we're not even accepting that gift that God gives us. Like, we're not believing in that truth that God gives to us. Like, some people in here are being held, hear this, you're being held captive by your past failures. Now, there's a reason why I say being held captive by your past failures. Like, I'm choosing my words very carefully when I'm saying being held captive by your past failures. Now, think about this. Someone who is being held captive means that the person is being imprisoned or confined to something. Being held captive means that the person, like that person who's being held captive, has no freedom to escape their current situation. Like, that's the situation you're in. There's no way getting out of it, and that's what it is. Being held captive by, think about this. It sounds foolish when you think about it. You're being held captive to move forward in your life now by the failures that you've experienced in your past that are dead, gone. Like, your past can't be resurrected. Like, they're gone. But however, we can't move forward because we've been held captive by in the past. We got anybody that loves, like, watch MMA in here? All right, love MMA, right? There's nothing more that enjoys me more than watching two guys or girls beating the mess out of each other. Now, in MMA, you can win a victory in one of three ways. One, you can win by split decision, or one, you can win by decision. Two, you can knock them out. Or three, you can put your opponent in submission. Now think about this. Whenever you put an opponent in submission, you are putting them in a hold, and you have such a hold on them, like the person that's being submitted is realizing there is no way I can escape from this. And once they realize that they can't escape from that situation, they tap out. And whenever you tap out, it means that you're giving in to that situation. Like, you accept defeat. Like, okay, you beat me, I give in to it. All right, am I making sense? A lot of people, many times, even in my own life, we are allowing our past put a chokehold on us. And then we experience that chokehold, and then we think that there is no way of escaping it. Like, we're thinking like, oh, there's no way out. I am defined by this, and so allow me to tap out and give into it. And so we think of what are the consequences from our past failures, like what are the consequences for it, and then we currently live as if we must experience like those consequences. We must feel the wrath of those consequences. But why? Like, what is so amazing to these past failures that we want to hitch our wagon to them? That no matter where we go, our past failures follow us. If you actually say it out loud, it's like you think about it, it's a foolish thing to do. But if you're anything like me, we do it frequently, men and women. That doesn't have to be the case at all. Isaiah 43:18 through 19 says this. Isaiah 43:18 through 19. Talking to the Israelites here. 18, it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Now check this out. God is using Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, to tell that to the Israelites. Now, this is huge during this time, because think about this. At this time, the Israelites were in captivity by the Babylonians. And the reason why they're in captivity by the Babylonians is because of their mess ups, because of their sin. The Israelite sin is what put the Israelites in Babylonian captivity. And so while they're in Babylonian captivity, they're finally realizing, like, hey, we weren't listening to God. We weren't following God. And since we weren't following God, we are in the mess that we're in right now. And they were so depressed, they were so bummed out, they made it in their mind that there was no way that they could get out of that. They were like, the Babylonians are submitting us. They put us in a chokehold. We can't get out, so we're just going to give in to all of this oppression. We're going to give in to all of this violence. We're like, we obviously deserve it, and so we're going to give in to it. And God told Isaiah to remind the people that even though they're in Babylonian captivity because of their own mess ups, because of their own faults, Like God is still at work. God is still, despite that, giving you something new to experience. Now check this out. It says, he told them, like, don't even consider your past. Think about this. They're in captivity because of their past. And God is telling the people, don't consider your failures, even though you're in the midst of captivity right now. Now think about this, and I love this. It says in verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Check this out. I will make a way in the wilderness. Check this out. In the wilderness. Why were the Israelite people in the wilderness in the first place? They were in the wilderness because they disobeyed God. That's why. So he said that even in your midst of your punishment, even in the midst of the wilderness, something that you deserve because of your disobedience, even in the middle of the wilderness, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to bring something new. So right now, men and women, even though you may be experiencing something because of your past, even though like right now you're feeling the pressures of life because of your bad decisions, God is creating a new thing in you. So which means that you don't have to hitch your wagon to the past, because even though you may messed up, God is doing something new in your life. I don't know about you all, but I can rejoice in that because I failed in the past miserably. I am a huge recipient of God's grace, of God's mercies, because I need it more than anybody. Everybody in here is in need of God's mercies, and He's freely given it to us. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Church, here's my first point. Don't let your past failures define who you are today. Repeat that. Don't let your past over there failures define who you currently are right now. Right now. Don't live in the past. Like, think about this. Don't, you should learn from your past, not lean into your past. Like, you should learn from your past. Don't live in the past. Men and women, like, you are not your divorce. You are not your addiction. Like, you are not your abuse. You are not your conviction. You are not your mother. You are not your father. You are not your old self. Like, God doesn't define us by our past mistakes. Neither should you. Move forward. This is your new beginning. Claim it right now. Like, you know how beautiful that is? For those, y'all know who I'm talking about. Like you know who you're talking about. This is you. Remember your past? Remember where you were a long time ago? Remember that? But at some point, you decided to follow God. And then God said, hey, this is who you are. This is who you are. You're not him. You're not her. You're not your past mistakes. Oh, no, you're not your mom. You're not your dad. You're not your divorce. Let me tell you who you are. And you held fast to what God told you who you are. And look where you are today. Like, or maybe you need to hear that right now. Get off your biscuit. Go move forward. My new beginning. There's nothing like a brand new something. There's nothing like a brand new something. Amen? See, thank you. Look, my baby says amen. Where y'all at? Now, earlier I told you that Heidi does not define me by my past failures. Now, what goes directly alongside that, like she doesn't define me, hear this, she doesn't define me by my past accomplishments as well, at all. If that were the case, if Heidi defined me by my past accomplishments, that means that I would have the green light to completely stop pursuing my wife. Like, I would have the green light to completely stop fighting for her affections. Has anybody ever, I'm talking to you men in here. You unloaded the dishwasher, like, the day before, and you feel like Superman? Like, I have. Me, right? And you're like, hey, Heidi, I unloaded the dishwasher and I started to load the laundry. Kiss the pinky ring, you know? And then the next day happens. And she's like, yo, I need help. The kids are going crazy. Like, I just wish you could help me out. And what are we quick to say? Yesterday, I unloaded the dishwasher and I did the laundry. Why aren't you still kissing my pinky ring, lady? You know? Like, okay, more bizarre example. Like, imagine you're not telling your wife you love her because you did it the day you married her. Like, I told you I love you. Like, you know, I said I do and I did, didn't I? So chill out, get off my back. Like, no. Like, your wife wants to be pursued today and tomorrow and next week. You see, a lot of the times that we look at our past accomplishments, And we're like, oh, okay, let me bask in the ambiance of my past accomplishments. And we fail to move forward. Check this out. If I am not constantly pursuing my wife now, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, until God calls us home, then we would not move forward in our relationships. Whenever we're so focused on our past accomplishments, we're not moving forward in life. Not only can your past, like, paralyze you from moving forward, like your past failures, but also your past accomplishments can paralyze you from moving forward too. Have you ever met somebody who lives in the glory days, like so-called their glory days? You have a conversation with them and they keep bragging about how many yards that they ran in high school. Like, they're 40 right now. They're talking about something that they did when they were 16 years old. You know? Or somebody's bragging about the job that they once had, the money that they used to make, the position that they once held, you know? Now think about this, you know, the yards that they ran, the position that they once held, the money that they used to make, the places they've been. You hear all of these things? They're past tense, like past it, been, once had, you know, all past tense. They're gone. They're gone. Whatsoever. I can't expect to get fit on a workout I did 6 years ago. Lord knows I wish that were the case, but that's not the case. It's okay to be proud, like to be happy that you accomplished a goal, but that's dead and gone. Yesterday, last year, 10 years ago, it ain't coming back up. What are you doing now to move forward in your walk with Christ? What are you doing now to repair a relationship with somebody? What are you doing now, men and women, to move forward? I believe that's why a lot of our marriages are failing. Remember, like, I did this. Forget did. What are you doing now? Am I making sense, church? The Apostle Paul talks about this. This is very practical. We all know this. But it's crazy how the most simple things, we're being held captive by the most simple things. This is simple. Something in our past holding us captive? How? It's dead and gone. We're gloating about something we did 10 years ago. Why? It's dead and gone. It makes sense, right? Apostle Paul talks about this in his letter to the church of Philippi. So you got your Bibles, y'all. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 4. Paul says this. Now think about this. Hear this. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now think about this. Now, what Paul is saying right here, he means like he has confidence that comes from his previous accomplishments. Like Paul goes, if anybody should boast in his flesh, should have confidence in his flesh, confidence what he can do, he's like, I can do it. And then he started giving us examples. He says in verse 5, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. So Paul is saying here, like, y'all, like, I am it. Like, as far as like men, I have it together. As far as the zeal is concerned, like, yeah, I once persecuted the church, but I did it because I had such a zeal for God. Such a zeal. How many people you know who had zeal like that? And you know who my heritage, like, I am Israelite through and through. I'm a pure blood. And not only am I a pure blood, like, as far as the laws, I know the law. I know the law backwards and forwards and all the way through. Not only do I know the law, but I practice the law better than anybody that I know. And then he put them to the test better than anybody you should know. If anybody should boast in his accomplishments, it should be me. But then he kind of throws something out in verse 7. Check this out. But whatever, oh, hear this, church. Come on, we need to hear this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. All of my accomplishments are a loss compared to Christ. All of my accomplishments fail in the presence of God. And that's why I have to make it all about him. all about him. It's not about me. It has never been about me. It doesn't matter how great my accomplishments are. They would never, never be so successful that I can offer myself up for the whole world so they can experience reconciliation between man and God. There's nothing that I can do. Men and women, we need to understand that on our best day, our biggest accomplishments, you cannot prepare a way, make a way that reconciles a relationship between God and man. That's why we have to make it about Jesus Christ. You see, whenever we get focused on our past accomplishments, we start doing a little something called elevating ourselves, you know, like from other people. Why do you think people have such a bad, the church has such a terrible reputation? Don't get me wrong, the enemy is definitely at work. But I got a couple of atheist friends. I got a couple of people that was like, yo, like, I don't believe in God. Because you see the people, like, they're selfish and then they turn their nose up, you know, from other people, and they elevate themselves. They think they're better than everybody. And despite that, I'm like, y'all, well, you're going to experience that everywhere. But then I kind of start to think, kind of get into their world a little bit. And you know what I have to say? Bro, you right on. Have y'all ever felt that before? But we can change that. No. I am jacked up more than anybody. Again, I told you this a couple of weeks ago. Like, I met a lady at the, Maggie had a little skate night, and I met a lady at the skate night, and we were just talking or whatever, and I'm like, yo, let me tell you about this awesome church, and I'm telling her about New Beginnings Fellowship, whatever, and she goes, hey, all right, oh, and I tell her the service times, and she goes, hey, do you guys judge people there? Like, if I go there, you know, will y'all look down upon me? I'm like, girl, do you have any idea who the pastor is? I'm like, I am, and I have no room to look down upon anybody. I'm like, girl, just go ahead, come. But she has a fear that the people of God, that the people who's supposed to be love, serving, and encouraging, or that the people who's supposed to be right on her level, it's fear that the people would judge her. Church, we need to do something different. Now, thank God at MBF, we don't do that. Amen? All right, church, hear this. Reliving your previous accomplishments stop you from living in the present. Let me repeat that. Reliving your previous accomplishments stop you from living in the present. You have children to raise today. You have a husband to love now. You have a wife to love now. You have somebody you need to forgive right now. You need to offer the olive branch to somebody right now. You have a job to complete right now. You have people to love right now. So how about we go about living our lives right now? Amen? Just even thinking about Jesus, right? Jesus on the cross, he goes, it is finished. And he died, right? But you think about this. Just because... like Jesus died on the cross, it doesn't mean that he stopped actively pursuing us. Think about it. Even right now, Jesus is moving forward. Actively right now, pursuing you. Actively right now, pursuing forward, pushing on to the goal. Which leads me to what Paul says in verse 12 through 14. He says, not that I have already attained this or I'm already perfect. Like right now, Paul mentions that he hasn't mastered this. Like there are times that he does indeed fail. There are times that like he messes up. There are some times that he allows himself to be like he wants to boast in his accomplishments. There are times that he wants to allow that past that he has to define who he is today. He said, yo, I haven't got this all together. I haven't mastered this. But what does he do, men and women? He presses on to make it his own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Oh, that's good. Like, I won't treat anybody else's child like my child. Like, I love your children. I love them like crazy. But there's something special about Maggie, Violet, and Penelope that your children don't have, like with my children, you know? And every parent in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Something special about mine. Right there, Paul is like, I am his own. All y'all, we are his own children. I think that's beautiful. So what does he do in response to that? Verse 13 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I am so excited about 2019. At one point in leading you, I felt so defeated. Just recently, I felt so defeated. And God was like, why are you allowing your fear to paralyze you? Like, move forward. And then from there, I started getting a vision for what MBF is. And so I was listening to God. And God is sharing with me the amazing things that our church is going to experience. And he goes, all right, Richard, you're going to have to believe that and move forward. Let your church know, put them in a position that they're following me and watch me work. Watch me move. Move forward, y'all. And right now, 2019, I am so excited about where we're going to go. Anybody want to come with me? Amen. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Church, hear this. The past is in the past. The past is dead. It's gone. It ain't never coming back. But you are alive right now. Don't be paralyzed by your past. Move forward. This is your new beginning. Your new beginning right now. Everybody stand up. Some people in here, you may feel defined by your past. Like, Richard, you have no idea what I've done. I am not worthy of receiving Christ. I am not worthy, like, to know him, to love him. I am not worthy of moving forward. Do you have any idea what I've done? Or do you have any idea, like, what happened to me? Or maybe you're in here, maybe you're a little arrogant, and you're like, man, do you have any idea what have I accomplished? Who are you to say this? Or who is anybody to tell me this? Like, and we're being stuck in our place, being defeated. Let's move forward. Let's go forward. Because you all, the pleasantries that we get to experience here on this earth, oh, I want to experience them, and I can't wait. You have any idea what the Bible promises us? That we get to experience now, right now, here on this earth, even before we get to heaven? I want those. But we got to move. We got to go. For those who are in here that don't know Jesus, you're not defined by what you've done. Accept Jesus right now. He's waiting for you. Ain't that cool? Like, he doesn't care what you've done, what you've experienced. He's like, yo, I want to make you a new creation right now. Right now. And if you accept Jesus, if you submit to his pursuit, then you're going to be saved right now. And then you're immediately a new creation. You're not defined. No matter what the world says, you're not defined about what you did in your past. He made you a new creation. And then all of the promises that God wants to bestow to us as children are yours. Claim it. Get saved now. People, if you bow your heads and close your eyes, bow our heads out of reverence for the Lord and you saints, we want to pray in our hearts right now that somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus will experience him right now. If there's anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus, and you have a desire right now to submit to God's pursuit, that you don't want to be defined about what you've done in the past, and you want to be that new creation, you want to follow Christ right now. If that's you, will you just simply raise your hand? Anybody that doesn't know Jesus, that want to know Jesus right now. you saints, let's go move forward. Yes, we rejoice that it's 2019, but God's mercies are new every day. So even though if you already messed up and it's already 2019, you woke up this morning. And according to the word, it says his mercies are new every day. So you walk in that newness right now. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us real quick. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Father, that you just wiped out our past. Your mercies are new every day, and we can claim that truth for ourselves right now. Father, I pray that we will understand that truth. I pray, Father, that we will live that truth out like forever, forever. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you, God, so much that you actively pursue us, Father. We are not what we've done. You give us a new identity right now. We pray we will walk in that, Jesus. So right now, Father, before we leave, we just want to worship you through song. And we just pray that we will apply your word, Father. We thank you and we love you. And all God's children said, amen. Let's worship.